Philippians chapter 4. Whoop, where are we at here? Okay, Bob. I'm not going to blame Larry or Bob on this one. I'm surely not going to blame myself. That's how we are as human beings. It's got to be someone else. There we go. That's what I want.
That one.
Yeah, but now you went ahead of yourself. You can see we did not correlate together. But all right, good that you're here. You're in Philippians chapter 4. Before we get into the verse in Philippians chapter 4 and other verses, I'm going to throw out some thoughts to you. If you were a pro football player, your greatest and ultimate dream would have your name recorded in the Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio. I remember when we went there years ago, I could have spent days in there looking at those football players. That would be your ultimate dream if you're a football player. If you are a pro baseball player, your goal would not be Canton. Your goal would be Cooperstown for the Baseball Hall of Fame. The ultimate joy, I'm sure, for a baseball player. If you're a hockey player, you see how I like sports. If you're a hockey player, your ultimate joy would have your name engraved on the Stanley Cup. For a hockey player, couldn't get any higher than that. If you liked racing and the Indianapolis 500, your goal would be on the trophy that would go on from generation to generation. And all those things are amazing things for those people that are in those fields. But that is absolutely nothing to where your name and my name can be recorded. Think about that. Because in Philippians chapter 4, in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 3, I urge you also, true companion, help these women and who have labored with me in the gospel with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers. Look at the next phrase. Whose names are in the book of life. Would you agree with me that supersedes all the examples I had given unto you? In the book of life. And we have an opportunity to be in the book of life. And it's not by our expertise, but by what God has provided for us that we can be and should be in the book of life. We're going to discuss this morning, the idea is your name in the book of life? Let's go to Revelation 20. In Revelation chapter 20, and verse 15. Very important to understand this. Because we have recorded in verse 15 of chapter 20, and anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So let me ask you this question, just taking these two passages. Can your name be in the book of life? Yes. What if your name's not in the book of life? Not looking too good for you, is it? Not looking too good for me. And boy, that's more important than your name being anywhere else. It should be in the book of life. We're going to talk about that this morning, the book of life. You know, if we want to have an eternal home in heaven, your name and my name must be in the book of life. It's not optional. If it's not there, we are in trouble. Now again, we don't get our names in the book of life because we are such great people. We get our names in the book of life because God has provided that way so that our name could be there. You know, and that's the difference. Here we talk about our name in the greatest place to be, but it's been given to us by submitting to Christ. I don't have to be an excellent hockey player, don't have to be an excellent football player, don't have to win a championship. But I have to be in Christ. I need to be in Christ Jesus for my name to be in the book of life. And the problem with that is this. If it's not, is it the Lord's fault? If my name is not in the book of life, who do I have to blame? Myself. Because right now, this morning, those of us that are accountable, your name is either in the book of life or it's not. Again, not because of your greatness, but because what God has provided for us. I hope you should pay attention to that, because that's the greatest place to have your name, is in the book of life. Let's go and look at our lesson this morning. It requires obedience to Christ. Let's go to Luke chapter 18. In Luke chapter 18, we have recorded for us in verse 18, now a certain ruler asked him, saying, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And what we're talking about, your name in the book of life. What's that talking about? Eternal life. What do I have to do to have this? So Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. Now look at verse 21. And he said, all these things I have kept from my youth. So are we talking about a good man? If he's done all those things, would he be a good man? But his name's not going to be in the book of life simply because he's a good man. We go on and read as we look at this. So when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, you still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come, follow me. Now, does this man want eternal life? Absolutely. But here's the sad point in verse 23. But when he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich. Now, can I infer by this passage, he chose not to follow Jesus at this time? Would you agree with me? That's what he chose. Otherwise, he wouldn't be going away sorrowful, but he'd be going away, what? Happy. Because Jesus had just told him how to have eternal life. And of course, Jesus knew the heart of man, and he knew the problem for this man was his material wealth. But getting away from the material wealth, it's those last two words. You want to be in the book of life, you follow Jesus. If I want to be in the book of life, I follow Jesus. Is eternal life, your name written in the book of life, available to everybody? The answer is yes. Will everybody be there? The answer is no. And it's not the Lord's fault. It's not the Father's fault. It's not the Spirit's fault. It will be my fault that I chose not to follow him. Right now, your name, if you're accountable, is either in the book of life or not. And I don't believe you have to hope about it. I believe you can know by your study of the scriptures. Let's go on and look at some passages. In Hebrews chapter 5, let's go to the book of Hebrews chapter 5. We have recorded for us here in Hebrews 5 and 9, verse 9, and having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation. Listen, to whom? To all that obey him. That's kind of similar to Luke 18, is it not? Follow me. Obey him. If you obey him, if you follow him, you have what available to you? Eternal life. And how are you going to have eternal life? As if your name's in the book of life. But the key is, I have got to follow Jesus Christ, my Lord. And we see this over and over again in the scriptures. We're going to go over just a few passages that we're all familiar with, kind of refresh our memory. Go back to Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, in verse 41, we have recorded for us here in Acts chapter 2, this is a case where about 3,000 had obeyed the gospel. Now remember, he told them what to do in verse 38 and 39, but it wasn't until verse 41, only those who did this, those who gladly received his word, right? You have that in verse 41? And were baptized. Now, when we look at the audience at Pentecost, when that lesson was over, whose names were in the book of life? Those in verse 41, correct? What about those who did not do that? Their names were not in the book of life. Again, because you have to do what? You have to follow Jesus. If I want to be in the book of life, I've got to follow Jesus through his teachings. I need to have my sins remitted by repenting and being baptized. But let's go to another case. Acts chapter 6. In Acts chapter 6 and verse 7, it says, then the word of God spread, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. Let me ask this question. If they were obedient to the faith, were they added to the book of life? Yes. But what did they have to do? They had to be obedient to the faith. For us, we get by faith by hearing and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10, 17. So again, I'm not standing before you saying, I'm in the book of life because God owes me anything. God owes me nothing. But he gives me access to the book of life through his son. And if I don't submit to his son, I won't be in the book of life. That illustration in Luke 18, was generally that a good man? He was a good man, but what's missing in his life? Jesus, follow me. I want to be in the book of life. And there's something I do about it right now. It's not something we do after the fact. It's something you do right now. But let's go to another illustration. In Acts chapter 18. In Acts chapter 18, we have recorded for us here in verse 8. Then Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his household, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized. Can I conclude the Corinthians that heard, believed, and were baptized, were they added to the book of life? Absolutely. So when we talk about the book of life, we've got to submit to the Lord. If you're here today, I'm so glad you're interested in spiritual things. But don't be dormant. You need to react. Just coming, it's not going to work to say, well, Lord, I went to all those services and yet not obey what the Lord wants you to obey. And that is to repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. I can assure you from my study of the scriptures, you will not be in the book of life if you choose not to obey our Lord. I can assure you that, because we read that in Revelation, did we not? One more passage along those lines. Galatians chapter 3 and verses 26 and 27. And no, I am not trying to scare anybody. It's your choice. But my question is, while you're turning to Galatians, why wouldn't you want to be in the book of life? What would lead you to say, well, I'm not going to do that? If it adds you to the book of life, why wouldn't you do that? Doesn't that make sense? If coming into contact with the blood of Christ, if repenting of my sins requires me to be baptized, why am I held back from doing that? So that my name could be in the book of life. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. Again, this was used in our class, for you are all children of God, sons of God, through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Let me ask you this. Do you think you can be in the book of life without putting on Christ? No. No. So what do you need to do to put on Christ? You need to be baptized. You need to be baptized to put on Christ. And we could spend all lesson on this, but I think this is sufficient to show the importance of obeying the gospel, which requires believing, repenting, confessing, being baptized for the remission of sins. Now, here's what you can choose to do. There's two ways you can go with that. There's one way, Acts chapter 13. There's no words I can cause you to do that which is right. It's up to your mindset. In Acts chapter 13, verse 46, then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first. But since you rejected, what were they rejecting? The word of God, right? Since you rejected and judge yourselves unworthy of what? Everlasting life. This we talked about the book of life, right? We talked about eternal life. If I choose to reject the word of God, I have chosen to reject eternal life. My name will not be in the book of life. Now, these were people in verse 46 who were religious. These were people who, I suggest, in their mindset, they thought they were acceptable to God, and yet these were people who the apostle said, you reject it, thus you count yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. How sad is that? All those other awards, whether it be the Stanley Cup trophy, whether it be Cooperstown, whether it be Ohio, that's nothing in comparison that my name is written in the book of life. And it can be theirs by simply obeying my Lord. But to do that, here's the other choice. In James chapter 1, and verses 21 and 22. Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Which is able. It won't do it if you don't do nothing with it. But be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Again, we started out whose names are in the book of life. Number one, for my name to be in the book of life, I have to have the blood of Christ. Would we agree on that? And to have the blood of Christ, I've got to obey the teachings of Christ. And for many of us in this audience, we've done that. So our name has been put in the book of life. But now the question is, will it remain there? Will it remain there? You see, my name goes in the book of life when I obey the gospel, but now I need to make sure it remains there. Because we have recorded for us in Revelation chapter 3, let's go to the book of Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, and let's read that together. And to the angel of the church of Sardis write, these things say he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your work perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you had received and heard, hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. Now, he's talking to those whose names were in the book of life. Look at verse 4. For you have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. 5. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments. Look at, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. All right. I could go off into tangent. I'm not going to go there, but I do want to touch on this. This is a good passage against once saved, always saved. Because those who believe in once saved, always saved, they'll say, if you weren't saved, you were never saved to begin with. Not true. Because where were their names? Their names were in the book of life. If your name is in the book of life, what are you going to have? You're going to have eternal life, right? But what's the warning to Sardis? Chuck's paraphrase, get your act together or you're going to be blotted out. You can't be blotted out of something you're not in. So he's talking to Christians here, is he not? So, okay, my name gets put in the book of life when I have my sins forgiven. But I've got to be careful that my name remains in the book of life Otherwise, I'm going to be in for a big surprise because it can be blotted out. And it's not going to be blotted out because God doesn't want us to have eternal life. It's going to be blotted out because we don't do the things the Lord teaches us. It's that simple. Chuck, you're trying to scare me. Listen to me. I am not trying to scare you. I'm trying to get all of us to think, do you want heaven? Yes. Is my name in the book of life? Well, if I've obeyed the gospel, am I living in such a way that it's going to remain in the book of life? That's what we need to be concerned about. Now, next Sunday night, Bob will go more detail on that, so I'm not using his lesson this morning. But let's go to a few more warnings about remaining in the book of life. Let's go to the book of Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. And we're going to read verses 18 through 22. Romans chapter 11, verse 18. Do not boast, these are the Gentiles compared to the Jews. Do not boast against the branches. But if you do boast, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you. You will say then, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well said, because of unbelief they were broken off, and you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, that's the Jews, he may not spare you either, the Gentile. Therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God on those who fell, severity, but on you, goodness. Look, if you continue in his goodness, otherwise what? You also will be what? Cut off. Okay, is he talking to people who are in the book of life? Yeah. But what's he warning them? Watch out that you don't get cut off. How do I get cut off? By not feeding upon the root. You see that? So my name initially goes there when I have my sins forgiven. But I've got to live in such a way that I remain in the book of life. I need to follow. When it says follow Jesus, it's not follow Jesus by one event. It's follow Jesus throughout your life. When I stand before the throne and my name's in the book of life, it's not because I'm such a great person. It's just I simply follow what the Lord wanted me to do. And by doing that, I get to have eternal life. How about that? So do you. But let's go to another warning. 1 Corinthians 10:12. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, is your name going to be in the book of life? We have recorded for us here, we often go and talk about that, he gives us a way of escape, but look at verse 12, therefore let him who thinks he stand take heed, lest he do what? Lest he fall. Can we become so arrogant that we think we can't be eliminated? And at that time, guess what? We'll probably be eliminated. Take heed, you think you stand, lest you fall. I hear brethren say, don't worry about me, I can handle that. Well, maybe God tells you how to handle that by getting away from it, right? Not putting yourself in a circumstance saying, I can be in that circumstance because I can handle it. Maybe you can handle it if you follow the Lord's way and flee. How does that sound? And there's other passages on that. So again, it's all about being in the book of life. I want to be in the book of life. I can be in the book of life. I should be in the book of life. God made it possible for me to be in the book of life. But now it's up to me. Now it's up to you. Let's go to another passage. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. We have recorded for us here as Paul writes to the young evangelist. And listen to what he tells Timothy about riches. And again, it's not wrong having riches, it's the wrong attitude towards riches. And 1 Timothy chapter 6, but those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and to many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, from which some have strayed. Oh, did you see? My version says some which have strayed from the faith. Now, if they had not strayed from the faith, their names would be where? In the book of life. But what's happening? They've strayed from the faith. in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. How sad that would be, wouldn't it? You know, it'd be horrible for me to stand before the judgment and knowing I had something and I gave it up. That's even worse than not even having it. Not having it is horrible, but to know that you had something and you gave it up, how horrible is that? What are we talking about? The book of life. We have to watch out our attitude towards our riches. And we all have plenty of physical riches. The things we have is not the issue. It's our mindset towards those things and how we use those things. But let's go to another illustration. In 2 Timothy chapter 4. I want to keep my name in the book of life. Verses 3 and 4. It tells us here very clearly, verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth. You see that in verse 4? They will turn their ears away from the truth. Can I conclude there was a time where they were receptive to the truth? Was there a time they were receptive to the truth? What do? They turn, and where is the truth? John 17, 17, sanctify them through that truth, that word is truth. They will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned to fables. They're going to think they have something they don't have because they've turned away from the truth. People do that today, do they not? You know, one of the hardest things to get people is to teach them to simply obey the gospel. You got all these passages, repent and be baptized with the remission of your sins, and you show them that, yeah, I see that, but that's not for me. Well, then you're not going to be in the book of life. Well, that's your opinion. It is not my opinion. I can show you book, chapter, and verse. It's the scriptures. Well, there's good people everywhere. Absolutely, that's what the devil wants you to do. There's good people everywhere. Remember, I'm saying you're not going to get to the book of life because you're a good person. Go back to Luke 18. On the whole, was that man a good person? Yes, but he needed who? He needed Christ. He needed to get rid of his attitude towards riches and he needed to follow Christ. You're going to be in the book of life when you follow God's teachings. I can't stress that enough. If you die tomorrow and you're not in the book of life, your blood's on your own head. And I'm not proud of that, that that be the case. But we're going to be held accountable individually. And they turn their ears away from the truth. Brethren, we got to be careful we don't turn our ears away from the truth. We have such a watered-down religion of Christianity, people don't even know what the truth is. They don't know what the work of the church is. That's a whole different series of studies. But they turned. They had it, they gave it up. And then let's go to James chapter 4. James chapter 4 and verse 4. Don't have your name erased from the book of life. We have recorded for us in James 4 and verse 4, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship? And I believe this is talking about spiritual adultery. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world will make himself what? An enemy of God. Who's he addressing here? He's addressing Christians. So we've got to watch out that I don't become a friend of the world, that I don't compromise the truth to fit in. Because if I do that and I stay that way, will my name be eliminated from the book of life? Who eliminated it? I did by my choices. God doesn't want to eliminate it. Christ surely don't want to have it eliminated. But it's going to be eliminated because I didn't choose. If you don't get anything else, get this morning. I didn't choose to take my religion seriously. Religion is not a Sunday, Wednesday thing. The religion of Christ is daily. And we continue to grow, to have our name in the book of life. One more illustration. Revelation chapter 3. Now someone, as you turn to Revelation chapter 3, might be saying, well, I don't know if my name's in the book of life. Really? You mean after this 40 minutes, 35, 40 minutes, that's your conclusion? I don't know. You don't know whether your name's in the book of life? Let me ask you these questions as you're turning to Revelation chapter 3. If you're baptized for the remission of your sins, is your name put in the book of life? So can we know that? If we're walking in harmony of the truth, will my name remain in the book of life? So don't leave here saying, well, I really don't know if I'm in the book of life or not. You know, you just don't want to admit. There's a difference between the two. You're either in the book of life if you're accountable, or you're not in the book of life. Jesus wants everybody to be in the book of life. But we've got to do those things. Remember the church at Laodicea? In Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 through 17, here's a church who thought highly of themselves. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. There's not better saying than that, because that's detestable. I will vomit you out of my mouth. Let me talk about this detestable thing, vomit. Which one of us likes being around someone that's vomiting? We get as far away from them as we possibly can, do we not? That's how detestable it is to God when we're lukewarm. He wants to throw us up because we're not living the life that we should. Now, we've all had cases where we've had upset stomachs and where we have vomited. The trouble is, when I do so on a very rare occasion, it's very loud. Everybody in the house knows what I'm doing. It's downright embarrassing. I don't do it so they know it. That's just how I do it. My daughter says she's been traumatized by that. I'll never forget, I was in a meeting one time, 2 days before the end, and I got a bug, and that night I am vomiting, I'm in the bed. And again, I'm loud. I don't mean to be loud. I like to be quiet, but I'm not. Brother Chuck, are you okay? Yeah. When we look at that, when I vomit out of my mouth, when you vomit you out of the mouth, that's detestable, isn't it? It's detestable to God for us to be lukewarm. If we're lukewarm, do you think we're going to remain in the book of life? Or is she going to rub us out? So what can we do? We can change. I don't give this lesson to you because I had to give a lesson this morning. I give this lesson to me and also to you because I want to be in the book of life. I give this lesson to myself and to you that we make sure that we're in the book of life. I don't have to walk outside this building today wondering, I don't know if I'm there. Yes, I do. Have I obeyed the gospel in the last passage? Am I living faithfully? Let's go to that verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. Glad you're here this morning. Make sure you're in the book of life. How sad it would be, because you can be there. I can be there through the blood of Christ. You can be there through the blood of Christ. 1 Corinthians 9, 24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you might obtain. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we an imperishable crown. I want to stop at verse 25. You know, the hockey player, the football player, the person who drives the roadster. Their names get put on those plaques. And it's amazing, because it'll be there as long as this life exists. Generations down the road will go by and they'll see these names that were put there. But your name and my name can be in the roll of heaven. Wow! Can you think of anything better? And you get to be there. And I get to be there through the blood of Christ and by serving him. We go for that imperishable crown. They look forward to a perishable, but for them to get that perishable crown, did they take it casually or diligently? Goes on verse 26. Therefore I run, not with what? I run not with uncertainty. Thus fight I as one, not as one who beats the air. Notice there's no uncertainty with Paul at all. I've got that incorruptible crown waiting for me. I've got eternal life waiting for me. I discipline my body and bring into subject, lest when I have preached to others, I should be disqualified. Did Paul, was he confident he was in the book of life? But he realized he had to press forward, didn't he? Oh, and by the way, how about us? Don't we have to press forward? I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're interested in Christ and spiritual things. For many of you who are here, I'm glad you're part of the Lord's body. But don't take it lightly. If your name's not in the book of life, you will not go to heaven. Neither will I. But we can know. We can know if our name's there, right? If we do those things. I'm saying, well, but Chuck, I need to improve. Join the club. We all need to improve. That's the point. So keep on improving. I go back to what I tell myself, and I know you get tired of this, and I know I've used this a lot, but I'm going to use it again. I tell myself on a daily basis, Chuck, finish strong. No matter what your age is, it's not time to slow down. It's time to finish strong. I don't want to be eliminated from the book of life, and neither should you. And if your name's not there, you can do something about it right this hour. Come forward and be baptized, the remission of your sins, and you'll put on Christ. And then day by day, follow his word, keep on growing. And when you trip up, pray God and make those corrections and get back on up. Thank goodness for his patience with us and his mercy. But you keep on keeping on. You finish strong, and you'll be in the book of life. Will you come as we stand and sing?
I have decided.